say Houston 15.
Go ahead.
We reviewed our entry stowage last night. We're going to do the stowing this morning. And in the process, we came up with one extra little bag up here, which we're labeling limb return items, which is essentially the same thing as 14 brought back. And I wonder if you might check with our good Fido and see if he wants the details of that, or whether maybe Ed Mitchell can give you the general kind of items, and that would be acceptable. But we have one bag, which I'm sure you're aware of, and we'll stow it and tell him exactly where we stowed it. If he wants the details, we'll give it to him.
Okay, fine, Dave. We copy that and pass that information along. I have the morning news report if you're interested in listening.
Roger, everybody's hooked up and listening. Go.
Roger, this is the news for 6 August 1971. In the first round in the American Classic at Firestone Country Club, Akron, Ohio, the leaders are Jerry Hurd and Mike Hill, both with 3-under, par 67s. Arnie Palmer shot a 70 and Nicklaus a 73. The U.S. built its gold medal total to 50 in the Pan Am Games, and they're entering their second week now. Cuba is a distant second with 17 gold medals, but a Cuban set a world record yesterday in the hop, skip, and jump. The record was 57 feet, 1 inch. We're coming up on the first full weekend of National Football Exhibition Games, and New Orleans Saints play the Buffalo Bills, Dallas Cowboys play the LA Rams, and these two games are the beginning of an 11-game weekend. I've got the baseball scores. American League East, Yankees beat Baltimore 5-0, Boston over Detroit 5-4. American League West, Kansas City over Minnesota 7-4, and Oakland edged out Milwaukee 2-1. The National League, Chicago over San Diego 3-0, Pittsburgh beat Montreal 7-2, and Houston 0, Dodgers 3. The government reports today the latest figures in the nation's unemployment problem, and one private economist predicts the jobless rate probably will show still another rise. 5 days after the steel industry and union agreed on a new contract without a strike, tens of thousands of steel workers have been laid off, and the hearths are cold as users consume steel strike preparedness stockpiles. William Martin, Jr., who reorganized the New York Stock Exchange 33 years ago, proposes an overhaul of the entire securities industry. We want to interrupt here. If we could have accept, please, we'll provide you with a new state vector. The Senate shelves until September 13th a compromise draft extension bill, which President Nixon wants now, and when it comes up, it will quite possibly face a filibuster. The U.S. Middle East expert Joseph Sisko concludes practical and concrete, and those are in quotes, talks in Israel. He says no decisive breakthrough was achieved, and he didn't expect any. The Middle East ceasefire, which went into effect last August 7th, hasn't ushered in peace, but it has suspended Israeli-Arab fighting. The last 12 months have been the best year for Israel since 1967, and the euphoria induced by results of the Six-Day War. A government study says Americans will spend more than $105 billion for medical care in 1974, and even the most ambitious federal health insurance proposal would add less than $12 billion to the tab. Congress is set to embark on a month-long summer vacation after the Senate completes action on a measure keeping federal agencies in business until October 15th. That's good news. And an added word, which could be a science update, you may have heard yesterday, but let me repeat it anyway. We've had very clean laser returns off the LR Cube, which is located at Hadley Base. In fact, very good and immediate returns from that. Also, as you know, we have a good sub-satellite orbiting the moon and are getting data from all the experiments on board that. Over.
Oh, that's very good news, Joe. Thank you. We hadn't heard about the LR Cube, but we were hoping it was super clean.
Roger, and it's your computer.
Roger.
And added note for Al. Alfredo, I'm not sure if you got a report on your bistatic radar experiment. Taylor Howard got very, very clean echoes on both the S-band and the VHF frequencies, and he's busy analyzing that data right now.
Very good, Joe.
Endeavor, this is Houston with a final update concerning the trusty LaCrew on the lunar surface. We turned it on yesterday and it worked beautifully for about 13 minutes. We were panning around, zooming in and out, got a few more good pictures of the surrounding mountains, and suddenly we lost the TM downlink. In fact, we lost everything in a very short time, about 1/60th of a second, almost as though someone had turned it off. We waited a while and tried to reactivate it and did such things as send signals back to it to pan around while we looked carefully on the passive seismometer for evidence of motion. Apparently it was not responding to the signals. The temperatures were completely normal right before it went off the air. We're not exactly sure what happened. Over.
Gee, that's interesting, Joey. I guess it completely went off and just didn't get hung up somewhere.
That's right, Dave. It wasn't a mechanical problem. We most likely popped a circuit breaker or something like that. It's a little difficult to sort out.
Would you like us to go back up and check it for you?
Knew you were going to ask. Stand by.
I'm interested in hearing you say that the temperatures were normal. One of the things that, of course, we'll debrief on when we get back, but Jim and I both noticed that each successive day was warmer than the preceding day. And on the last day, if you held your hand or something in one position for any period of time, it would suit would really heat up on that particular surface. And I'm surprised that the system ran this long with that temperature up there, because I suspect it really got pretty hot.
Dave, that's an interesting comment. By normal, I guess I mean within limits. It apparently was about 90 degrees on the Le Creux and about 92 degrees on the camera when it gave up the ghost. However, that's well within its limits, and we don't think that circuit breakers or whatever let go because of the temperature. The one thing we did not have censored, as I understand it, were the bad temperatures of the rover that was feeding the power into the TV, however.
Gee, 92 sounds pretty cool to us. I would have guessed much hotter than that. That's a pretty good thermal system on it if it kept the temperatures down that low.
That's correct.
Or maybe, Jim mentioned maybe that's centigrade, huh?
Negative on the centigrade, Dave. However, when we turned the camera off at the end of EVA 3, the temperature was up around 122 degrees.
Yeah, I'd believe that easily.